This is AgriPulse Open Mic. I'm your host, Jeff Daly. Our guest this week is Tim Trotter, CEO of Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by the American Sugar Alliance. Learn more about the benefits of the sugar industry to the nation at sugaralliance.org. AgriPulse Open Mic continues with Edge Dairy Farmer's Tim Trotter next. Did you know the price of U.S. sugar for American households is about 5% lower than other developed countries? In the U.S., 11,000 sugar beet and sugarcane farmers produce sugar under some of the world's strictest safety, labor, and environmental standards. These hardworking Americans support 151,000 jobs across two dozen states, maintain a reliable domestic supply chain, and contribute over $23 billion to the economy. American sugar companies pay fair wages and offer good benefits to their workers, including union jobs vital to rural and urban communities. The sugar program is the safety net for sugar producers in the Farm Bill. It has strong bipartisan support in Congress and is designed to cost the taxpayer $0. The current sugar program provides flexibility to allow for a reliable supply throughout the year and to accommodate imported foreign sugar required under our trade commitments. Weakening the sugar program would lead to greater dependence on unreliable foreign suppliers, costing us American farmers, blue-collar jobs, and domestic food security for this essential ingredient. For more, visit the American Sugar Alliance at sugaralliance.org. This is AgriPulse Open Mic. It's a perfect storm of policymaking as Washington has begun the hearing process for potential reform of the federal milk marketing order and Congress is attempting to write a new farm bill. Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative represents 800 members and 15 billion pounds of milk. CEO Tim Trotter says industry diversity is both a blessing and a curse when it comes to dairy supports and market reform.
In every order, the needs are a little different. So when you come in together on a federal hearing like this, looking at a broad brush approach, it makes it really difficult to find that fine line where you'll have consensus. So I think the process, I'm watching the kickoff of the hearings, I look to there to be a lot of great ideas, but the challenge is, can we find that, can we thread that needle and come up with something that's going to be upheld by its members, the people who vote on it ultimately, and that's our farmers. So that's the challenge we have. So where Edge is at, of course, we want to see some modifications here that's going to help our order, especially Federal Order 30, which is in the upper Midwest. We have a lot of milk in that order that is unpooled, meaning it's depooled, I should say, meaning the plants that are, you know, processing milk in that order see little value because there's not much fluid milk going into the pool. You know, we're basically a manufacturing area up in the upper Midwest. So the needs in the upper Midwest are very unique and different. So that's why we're going to lean in as much as we can to make the federal orders more relevant. But we're also going a congressional direction to make sure we can get some longer term opportunities for farms in all different sizes and different geographies and different orders to find ways to be more nimble order by order. Because as we see this, I mean, there's so many dynamics here. We want to make sure that all farmers and all processors have a viable and understandable future. Because if you're a young farmer wanting to get into the business, the first thing the banker is going to ask you, where's your market? What's your market? You know, where's your contract? What kind of assurances do you have when you make this investment in this new parlor or whatever it might be? What assurances do you have that you're going to be here 5 years from now? And you know this, Jeff. I mean, you pick up the paper, we're long milk right now, so there's stress right now among some of these processors, and we are seeing at times farms being dropped, and it's because either the market conditions aren't right, and those poor farms, depending on where they're at, they may not have only one choice when it comes to a processor. So we want to develop a plan here that's going to give us a longer-term look at dairy, that's going to incentivize competition. We'd love to see more processors. You know, we've seen great successes in the upper Midwest with the diversity we have and the different markets we have for farmers to align with. So that's where our heads are at. And also remember one thing about EDGE. We did our strategic planning process 3 years ago. At the same time, we were beginning our federal milk marketing order reform task force. The number one thing that came out of the farmers' highest priority was a better relationship with our processor. And it's more of a strategic alignment than it is a market for selling milk. They want to be better aligned with the processor that best represents their values and their products. So again, we're trying to do a reset in how we think about the market and how we think about the future. And I don't think that the federal hearings right now is really looking long term. And that's the challenge we have. But again, you have to make what you have a little bit better. But EDGE is looking long term at this and trying to provide a better opportunity for the future of dairy.
It would be said, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. The question is, are the marketing orders broken? And how extensive is the fix?
I wouldn't say they're broken. They're just not with the times. I mean, again, we have federal orders that were developed over 80 years ago, and the amount of refinements that's been made to orders over time has been fairly significant. But you see the global competition we have now, and you see how quickly agriculture's changing and how better farmers are at producing milk and higher quality milk. The system itself is not moving quickly enough. So that's where we're trying to really lean into this and say, you know, maybe an agreement at a federal level, broad-brushed agreement is not as important as it is region by region, having more flexibility in the orders to really adapt and innovate and come up with new ideas we haven't thought of right now. Again, we don't want to be constrained to what we have today. We got to look down the road because that's what our farmers are telling us. That's what our members are telling us. They want assurances and certainty for the future.
So if we stay at the 30,000-foot level looking down at the situation, how much of the solution or the resolution is legislative? How much is through the regulatory system? And how much is just plain old free market negotiations?
I think all of them are in that soup, that mix that we're looking for, because competition's great, and we have competition in the global arena right now. And I don't know that we're where we need to be. I think we're looking at federal order reform, which we're here today, and we'll be here for the next 60 days working on that. We have legislative proposals being developed to look at more flexibility in the federal orders to make orders more viable. But also we're looking at contracting principles that not only apply to people who are in the order, and that comes back to forming that strategic relationship with the market that you're selling into, but also giving assurances that if I'm selling my milk outside of the federal orders, that I have assurances very similar to what we have in the produce industry with perishable products. We need some guard posts and guardrails on that relationship between the farmer and the processor to make sure outside of the federal orders will farmers and processors both have a strong relationship to move forward to go after those markets. So we're realizing that some farmers may never be back in the federal order system, but they need those safeguards that I think are really important. Is, you know what it's like right now with the cost of money to farms now. Of course, interest rates are raising. If for any reason a marketer came in and said, we're only pay you net 30 days, well, that's going to raise our cost of money. They're at risk because they're not getting a check till 30 days later. I mean, there's just a lot of risk right now. Now, I'm not implying that processors would do that, but again, I think this is a good way for Congress to at least put some safeguards in there for our farmers and processors both.
Well, there is said to be, or you could look at some proposals by those who will be involved in the farm bill that want to levy and begin to levy means testing as a part of farm programs. Economics of scale have forced some operations to become larger to survive. Where does EDGE stand in protecting the small farmer, but also allowing the market to run free, and then those restrictions that might come from means tests with regard to policy?
Well, EDGE is steadfast in saying it shouldn't matter the size of farm for the safeguards that you get. You know, we don't want to sit here and tell a farmer this is the perfect size. We want to make sure that all farms have their protections, but also the ability to go in the marketplace and be able to hedge their risk. You know, we're all about free market opportunities, and I think what farmers are looking for more than anything is how do they hedge their risk as they move forward. Our current federal milk marketing orders do not give us all the protections that we need when you're being able to manage your risk. So I think no matter if you're that 30-cow farm wanting to milk 50 next year or a 1,000-cow farm that wants to go to 1,500 cows, you all should have the same tools available to you. We should not get in the place of judging and evaluating what your size of your farm should be.
So as this policy is now being debated and the hearing process will take us well into 24, some would suggest the programs need tweaks, and others would suggest it needs to be soup to nuts, A to Z, a revamp from bottom to top. Where does EDGE stand?
Well, I mean, obviously, and I think if there are the people you ask the people in the room today here at the hearing, none of them are looking at this as small tweaks. This is real change. You know, EDGE's perception is, yes, this is important, but we're even not reaching far enough. And that's why I think the legislative approach, we have a two-prong approach. Make what we have better, but also look to the future and how do we set the table for change? That's what it's all about. How do you set the table for change? How do you give that assurances to the dairy community that 10 years from now, we have policies in place now that's going to allow us to be competitive? So that's where I don't think you can only fish in one hole here. And also we have the regulatory rulemaking option as a third option to see, to make some more modifications to give assurances to farms. But there's no silver bullet here, Jeff. I mean, it's going to take all hands on deck. You know, our farmers are steadfast that they're behind us. You know, this milk marketing, system that we have here in the U.S., for a lot of farmers, it's very confusing, and quite frankly, I mean, for a lot of people, you know, who are very astute business people, always asking questions about the federal orders. They're not overly easy to understand. So I think we have some complexity there. But you know what? I got to give the credit to U.S. Dairy, though. I really do believe that we'll see some meaningful changes here. But again, we have to set the table for change because we're not adapting soon enough and quick enough for the opportunities before us.
So are we adapting to a consumer? Are we adapting to the economics of the dairy business? Are we adapting to the global market? What's causing the variability and change?
That's a very good point. And if you know a lot about EDGE, we're very involved in sustainability. You know, EDGE was just recently awarded a $50 million grant to help, you know, find ways that sustainable dairy products could, you know, see a better marketplace. But a lot of that depends on that processor and farmer alignment and how do we grow our business together. So I think it's really getting those assurances that we have everybody at the table, and we see the opportunities before us and we're able to seize those opportunities. And unfortunately right now I think we have some disjointed policies that don't allow us to act as quickly as we can. But again, I think it is meeting the needs for Dannon and the Dannon's customers. It's working with Hershey's. It's working with all the brands that are using our dairy products every day that we rely on. But also what is really important, though, the farmer's voice needs to be at the center of this. And unfortunately, a lot of times that decisions are made, the farmers aren't always represented. That's why our 800 members said to us, be involved in this. We trust you, but yet they want accountability. They want to know that at the end of the day that they have a direct line to the future. And right now, I think at times we have a lot of haze, and we need to clear that up for our members.
Tim, how much of the future of the dairy industry is about recognizing the change of consumer choice, or influencing consumer choice, or adapting products that are being offered for consumers?
Well, I think the problem that a lot of our members have is they feel like farmers haven't been at the table when you're seeing these demands on dairy products and how we produce our products. Big picture, it's great when you have a consumer who cares about food. And we don't have to go back too many decades ago. People didn't care. They wanted food security. They weren't worried about where my food came from. Today is much different. Well, that is an opportunity as long as the farmer has that direct link to the marketplace. And that's what we're trying to do through our sustainability efforts. But again, it's co-creating what that future of dairy is. And I think you have to be really aligned with the consumer because they have to understand what dairy means and the attributes that dairy brings to the table. But that communication has really, you know, not been the best. So I think, you know, obviously our checkoffs, there's a lot of efforts going underway to really solidify and make sure farmers' voices are being heard. But also we have to be good listeners and we have to recognize this is the direction that dairy is going. This is the way people want dairy to be able to consume dairy. Maybe I don't want to drink fluid milk anymore. I want cheese or I want yogurt or I love ultra-filtered milk. I mean, we have to be able to adapt to what the consumers are wanting, and that requires the farmer to understand, where is my milk going? What is the markets it's going to provide? And do I have the right type of agreements? And am I producing the milk the way it needs to be produced to align with that marketplace? So farmers need to be engaged. And we have to make sure that our voices are there.
So, Tim, out of the skillet and into the fire, there is this thing called Farm Bill, and many are hoping that it has 2023 tied to it. So at the same time that hearings are going on for the federal milk marketing order, you're looking at opportunities for new policy. A lot of challenges between conservatives and liberals with regard to the budget, a lot of revenue challenges for the future ahead, and time is a factor. How do these hearings and how does the Farm Bill weave together for the future of your producers?
Well, it's the perfect storm. I mean, there's obviously we're on multiple fronts. I think within Congress, I think we have some options and some opportunities to really get some good things done in the Farm Bill. I think you're optimistic when you say 23. We were probably more optimistic 3 or 4 months ago. But again, you know, anything can be done, right? I mean, it's, you know, things can change and, but I think realistically it's probably going to be 24. But I think a lot of things are going to come together at the same time. If the hearings are done by October 1, it's going to be sometime next year before they, you know, they give their rulings out and make their recommendations. You know, we're several months to a year and a half out on, you know, implementation of whatever comes out of these hearings. The Farm Bill hopefully will be on a faster track. It's potentially possible that some things could be addressed in legislation that would preempt the recommendations from AMS to come back with recommendations. We might be able to, you know, see some things done in the Farm Bill that would help this process. So it's not the perfect alignment in EDGE's perspective. We would have rather seen, you know, more work in the Farm Bill and used the federal hearings as a cleanup. Well, you know, obviously we're going forward. So you kind of adapt and just realize you have two fronts to work on.
So in the headlines, the issue with Mexico over genetically enhanced corn and our trade agreement of USMCA, but the dairy issue with Canada is still ongoing. Any progress there?
Well, I wish there were more progress. I mean, it's kind of a hurry up and wait and see. You know, we're very hopeful. We're glad that, you know, the U.S. is standing up for themselves. But right now I can't comment that there's any hope that we're going to have quick resolution. I'm shocked that we're where we're at right now. But again, that's why we have to communicate with, USTR and really stay on our trade team to make sure that they uphold, the agreement. You know, and an agreement's worthless if you're not going to uphold it. So it's high on the priority list, obviously, because, you know, it's not over yet, and I'm pleased that the U.S. is, you know, pounding on the table and trying to get something done. But again, the integrity of this agreement is really going to set the stage for others. And so that's why we really need to be on this, because if you sign an agreement, there has to be honesty and sincerity that's going to be carried out the way it was meant. So, I mean, we're hopeful that USTR is going to stand tall on this.
If we look at priority issues for dairy farmers, one that has been listed is that of an adequate workforce. Now, although workforce and immigration doesn't come under the Agriculture Committee, Ag Chairman Thompson has appointed a workforce task force. So what do you hope that they will find, and what do you need from the dairy industry to make sure you've got enough people to work?
Well, the H-2A program, we know, was really a lot of discussion here a few weeks ago, and you know, and I'm delighted to see that they're bringing it up again. We've been up to the free throw line many times, and we thought that we had made some good shots here, and every time it seems like we get up to the final hour and it doesn't follow through. You know, dairy farmers are beside themselves, and processors alone, I mean, everybody is short of workers. I mean, this is agricultural, you know, it's all throughout all ag industries and all commerce here, actually, especially in the upper Midwest. I mean, I don't care who you talk to, labor's an issue. And it just blows my mind that we're still talking about this. But again, it's a highly political issue, obviously coming into the elections. I really don't see much happening there. I mean, obviously keeping this alive, you know, I give him a lot of credit, because we need to keep it alive. We need to find that there's got to be that perfect storm as we talk about opportunities where something could be advanced. But again, we just want assurances that we have the labor to advance our industry, and right now we don't. I mean, we're at such a huge disadvantage, and that's really stifling things. I know cheese plants who were running 24 hours a day, now they're doing two shifts because they don't have enough work, and at the same time they have a market they could fulfill. So that's an opportunity. That's a cost. That's a cost to the dairy farmer, and it's a cost to the communities and where all these dairies and processors are. We're losing jobs. We're losing opportunity. So it's just every year I think we're going to break through, and it just always disappoints us. But again, I'm glad that they've re-energized some conversations in the House, and hopefully it'll bring something forward.
Tim, there has been much consternation about what's in the label, especially as it relates to dairy products. There are those who have a plant base of a product that's in the dairy case that's called milk. What's the resolution for the label in the dairy case, and how is this affecting the industry or the future of the industry?
Well, you don't want me to get in my soapbox, but you know, we've been working with FDA for how long now to enforce the laws they have on the books for the definition of milk. And if we can't solve that, how can we effectively solve any of these other issues? I mean, it's so sobering to know that, you know, when we have the leading brand milk and milk products and dairy products that have the highest nutritional values, and really, you know, when it comes to children and its nutritional values and what it brings to overall health, you know, we shouldn't be having these conversations. And to think that substitute and imposter products for dairy and cheese have an opportunity in the marketplace to go on our good name, that dairy farmers have spent millions and millions of dollars through their checkoffs to develop, to think that that could be pirated is just horrible. It's not the American way. It's wrong at all levels. You know, when it comes to standards of identity, I mean, again, we're on the record, obviously, of supporting our brands, supporting the opportunities that our brands have. We just need some consistency here. And I still come back, FDA's got to show some leadership. The administration's got to show some leadership. And Congress has held people accountable for this. It's wrong at all levels.
Well, Tim Trotter, we want to thank you for taking time to be with us on this edition of Open Mic. No shortage of issues for dairy farmers and the dairy industry. Thanks for being here. We look forward to hearing from you as the news does progress. But today you're on Open Mic, and today you've got the last word.
Well, dairy's strong. You know, dairy's going to be here forever. We're very excited about the future, despite, you know, some of the challenges we're dealing with. you know, we have a bright future in the dairy, in the dairy space. And I think it's, again, going to be, all comes back to us putting the right efforts at the right time and the right issues. And I think we're on the right track.
Our thanks to Tim Trotter, CEO of Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, our guest this week on Open Mic. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by the American Sugar Alliance. Learn more about the benefits of the sugar industry to the nation at sugaralliance.org. For AgriPulse, I'm Jeff Daly.